You're listening to SBS News.
This April, it'll be 2 years since Ken Bottrell lost his wife Dale to lung cancer.
Dale and I, my wife and I, we both very strongly thought we don't want to be left on the end of a machine, you know, not living a life, being a problem to everybody, and not having any decent sort of life, you know, not having any quality of life.
The 76-year-old says with his wife and daughter, they completed paperwork to enact an advance care directive. The document, which outlines future healthcare preferences, can be referred to as a living will. But Mr. Bottrell admits discussing health treatment choices amid sickness can be a confronting conversation for families.
It was tough, but it was also easy, if that makes any sense, because we wanted, and I particularly wanted Dale to have a degree of control over what happened to her. And she said, this is what I want, this is how I want to go. And I respected that, and I wanted her to have her say.
He says Dale was able to die with dignity and grace because a plan was in place, and this assurance also put medical professionals at ease. But Advanced Care Planning Australia estimates less than 15% of people have a directive, so many relatives are unaware of what to do. Dr. Sonia Fullerton is an ambassador for Advanced Care Planning Australia.
And we know that if patients and families have discussed those important life choices, then that results in less stress, anxiety and depression for family members who've had to make decisions on their behalf. It's better to, if you're making important life choices, it's better to have them planned rather than left to chance or just assume that people will know what you want.
She works as a palliative medicine consultant and says there needs to be more community awareness about advanced care planning.
We might be in the emergency department. A person might be very unwell and not able to talk to me about what treatments they want and they don't want. I then will then turn to their family and ask them, what has the person said about what treatments they want, what treatments they don't want? The family often looks back at me in frozen horror. They haven't had those discussions and they're not really sure what the person would want.
The process includes appointing a substitute decision maker, taking the stress off relatives and making them informed about another person's preferences in the event of a medical issue or emergency. While there has been a lot of attention on voluntary assisted dying, with states like Victoria and Tasmania making legal changes, there is less awareness about advanced care planning. Associate Professor of General Practice Joel Ree at the University of Wollongong explains not enough discussions are happening in this area.
You know, talking about death and dying and talking about these kind of issues is something that I think all Australians can be involved in. Obviously, you know, some cultural groups might prefer to just have a discussion that might be less confronting to some people, and that's fine in that case.
About a third of people will end up being unable to make important medical decisions later in their lives, but many people are not proactive about communicating what they want to happen before it's too late. Associate Professor Ree says it can be challenging to promote advanced care planning in some culturally diverse communities.
I myself, I wasn't born in Australia, I was born in Korea myself, and I know that in my the Korean culture, talking about death is often considered a bit of a taboo topic. And if you talk about death and the issues related to that, then people might sometimes say, look, don't talk about it, it brings bad luck, etc.
It's hoped giving a bit more thought to medical treatments ahead of time will give all families peace of mind and clarity for their loved ones. National Advanced Care Planning Week continues until Friday. Stephanie Corsetti, SBS News.